This is happening. Hope everybody is being safe. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. This is my favorite holiday. And it is not just because my name is Sam. Although I will tell you, and this is absolutely no joke. So I was born in 1980. And it was just a short while after my parents came to this country. And they immigrated here from Holland, although they are not originally from Holland. I'll tell you the whole story here as the hour unfolds. But my parents, they got here in 1977. And if you were alive and well in 1977, you will remember that that was a particularly depressing time in our country's history. I mean, everywhere you looked, it was down in the dumps time. And by the time 79 rolled, I mean, what did we have? We had a Jimmy Carter presidency. We had interest rates that were incredible, out of this roof. Bill, you're shaking your head. Could you buy a house, really? I mean, you could, but you couldn't afford very much, could you? Gas rationing. What else? What else did you have? Well, we had Iran. That was a bang-up job there by Jimmy Carter. So it was kind of a depressing time. And my parents will even say, I think I haven't talked to them about this in a while. It was still better than being back in Europe, believe it or not. Because at the time in Europe, there was a real palpable fear that the Soviet Union was having its way with America, that the Cold War was going to be eventually won by the USSR. This is not a phony Russiagate type of conspiracy theory, because now everybody's looking for reds under the bed before they go to sleep at night. But back then, America had not won the Cold War. America's supremacy was not yet a foregone conclusion, and it seemed at the time that in the ebb and flow of American power and supremacy, that America was losing a bit of its shine. And so for people like my parents, who were at the time political refugees from Eastern Europe, from then Czechoslovakia, and were living in Western Europe, at a time when Berlin was divided, you had the Berlin Wall. You had East and West. There was barbed wire up, you know, across half of Europe, splitting Europe in two. And there was a real fear that one day countries like Belgium and the Netherlands, where my parents were at the time, you'd wake up and they'd be under attack. And certainly a real hesitancy for people who think that, hey, you know, is America really going to perform under its obligations in NATO? I mean, is America really in a position to face down a Soviet threat? And so against this backdrop, this is why my parents left. They were terrified. They had seen, by the way, 1968, the spring of 1968, they'd seen the Soviets reinvade their country, ending the Prague Spring, reinstituting hardline communism. And it was at that point that both of my parents split. And I'll tell you more about that again here in a few minutes. So in 1980, I am born. I come to this earth. And not sure it was a great blessing for very many people, but certainly for my parents, a very exciting time. Also, there was a man named Ronald Reagan, and there was hope that maybe America would be great again. This is before the slogan. But Reagan did have a different slogan, and it was, "It's morning in America." It was a very powerful slogan. He meant it, by the way, and the years after his first election, that certainly was the case. So my parents, when they had me, were so overcome by patriotism They named me after Uncle Sam. Sam is not a family name, a typical name at all. I mean, it's a biblical name in that sense, but not a Czech name. Name me Sam for Uncle Sam. So I was destined, I think, from birth to be a great patriot. And I am. I love this country. I do. And I love it from a unique place because I still have a strong connection to my parents' native land. My parents were both born in Prague, what is now the Czech Republic. And if you have a chance to go there, in fact, I'm going to be there later this week and next week, and we'll be doing the show live from Prague. So I will tell you about it. But as obviously, I have a connection to the country. I speak the language. I have a lot of family there, and I return frequently. And so I have a view of this country that is the product of not just living here and being born here and being born to immigrants who love this country and who are so happy to be here, but also having this immigrant past and having a bit of an outsider's perspective looking in. My parents were born in Prague, and they grew up. They didn't. Both of them grew up in Prague. My mom grew up in Prague, and my dad, early in his life, ended up in Switzerland briefly for a couple years. My grandfather, who was a Protestant minister, ended up serving on the World Council of Churches in Geneva, and so my father and his brother, their family moved to Switzerland, and it was during that time that the communist putsch occurred, the takeover of Czechoslovakia by the Soviet Union. And my grandfather had an option. Door number one, which I think is a very nice, beautiful door. It was called the Stay in Switzerland door. And door number two was the go back home and possibly end up in jail, because that's what, you know, the Soviets did. Communists don't like honest priests and ministers. They don't like religion, in case you don't know this. Very similar to modern day liberals. Anyway, I digress. So my grandfather, he was a patriot. He loved his country and he returned. Chose door number two, and it was a rough life. One of the great tragedies in my family is that he never lived to see the end of the regime. Very sad. But they returned and they had a tough life. They were moved out of their apartment in Prague and to a small town. My dad grew up in a small town. And then they returned to Prague when my father became a little bit older. My father studied in Prague. My parents were 6 years apart and they knew each other. This is their story. My grandfather was the pastor for my mother's family's congregation. So they went to church together. And my one grandfather was the priest for the other family, the pastor, the minister, Protestant minister for the other family. So they knew each other, but they were 6 years apart, you know, didn't really interact too much. And then 1968 came. Now, my mother at the time was on a school trip with some school friends. She was in college and school friends in Paris. And the Soviet tanks rolled into Prague. And you can imagine, I mean, this was a sort of an ending. There was a lot of optimism at the time in Czechoslovakia that the gradually restricting nature of the regime would give way to eventual liberalism in the classical sense, freedom and that you would. Alexander Dubček general secretariat of the Communist Party, and he was a liberalizer. He wanted socialism with a human face, whatever the hell that is. But he was not, the hardliners won, we'll put it that way. He was recalled to Moscow, the tanks moved in. And for a young person, all of the hope and optimism that the country would go in the right direction, because you know, if you were in your early 20s and you had experienced this for the last 5 years, your country was getting more free, there was more opportunity, it looked like you could travel and have different careers, and the state wasn't as involved in everything, and all of a sudden, down come the gates, down come the border, you're done, and back into prison. My grandfather calls my mother in Paris and says, "Don't come home." Can you imagine? I think she was 21. "Don't come home." My father, meanwhile, was in Prague. He claims that he may have gotten caught up in a few street skirmishes. But at any rate, he was able to, together with a friend, escape the country. I think even his brother traveled with him, my uncle. And they made it out by way of Austria to Holland. My dad settled in Holland and my mom settled in France. And so through the end of the 60s and into the 70s, my parents lived in those respective countries and they met through their families. Hey, so-and-so's in France, so-and-so's in Holland. They got married, lived in Holland. And it was there that they started to look around themselves and go, "This is depressing." When I tell you what's going on with immigration, like I did yesterday, when I talk about that, I have firsthand knowledge. My dad was a writer, had a column in the paper. My mother is a chemist. And they're looking around themselves and they go, "Look, this country is not going anywhere too great too quickly." And then there's the entire Soviet menace. They had seen what communism did to their country. And they wanted no part of this expanding socialist state, right? This is Europe in the 70s. You want to talk about devastating political ideology? You know, people complain about Trump and everything he's done to wreck this country. You have no idea the kind of self-destruction that Europe wreaked upon itself in the 1970s. None. They're barely getting out of it now. It's debatable if they've even figured that out. So my parents look around and they say, "Look, we got to get out of this." It is very difficult, and it was difficult then, to get into the United States. Now, my mom, I told you, was a chemist and had a PhD in chemistry and was able, through some finagling, to get a postdoctoral job working at Northwestern University in Illinois, in Evanston, Illinois. Well, a postdoc position doesn't pay anything. If you know this, if you have a kid or anybody, or you've yourself have gone to university and gotten your PhD and then do a teaching assistant job, it is miserable pay. It's like nothing, but it's a ticket in. And so with that ticket in, my parents came to the country and my dad couldn't work. My dad couldn't work for the first, I think, 5 years. And my parents lived in abject poverty. I mean, poor. When I was born, you know, my mom talks about this. She'd go to the store and they would buy potatoes and flour and just the basic, you know, basics, oil and cook, you know, basic meals. And they'd be in line with people in the store with food stamps. My mom always goes, "Yeah, and they had potato chips and soda pop and all this stuff. And we were starving." And my dad, on principle, you think that he worked somewhere illegally? You think that he stole his social security number, just faked it or whatever? No, it was against the law. The idea that my parents would come to this country and break the law, it was just inconceivable. That is not a thought that crossed their minds. And so they applied for green cards and applied for green cards and applied for green cards. And finally, later, my mom got a second position because, you know, these positions are finite. So they had to move to North Carolina and got a teaching position, or another postdoc teaching position at Duke University. And it was there finally that they got their green cards. It was a years long process. And only then could my father work and they could be a double income family. The story of how they got here is incredible. But it is a formative story for me. I think when I reflect on what makes this country great, and mind you, these are parents who, my parents, look how many times my mom has moved from Czechoslovakia to France to Holland and to here. They're done. They came to this country in 1977 and have not looked back. They've never talked about going back anywhere. This is their home. I think so many immigrants out there have a similar story. They never look back. I'm going to add one more thing to that. They don't just not look back on other, they've moved different places in the U.S. They came to Southern California and like, this is it. We're here. We're here to stay because this place is God's land. Oh my gosh. Isn't that right? Okay. I'll give you some more details. This is good. I think others of you have similar stories, but I want to give you some more detail when we come back. Stay tuned.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Samuel Berjofsky making radio great again this 4th of July. Giving you my parents' immigration story. And I'll say this to add to or sum up what I was just ending with last segment, explaining, you know, that my parents came here and were so taken by this country that after so many moves, they decided to stay here. I always find it curious when generational Americans or even, I don't know, even maybe second generation immigrants, when they talk about American exceptionalism as a dirty word, as an unacceptable concept. My parents think America is freaking awesome. They think America is exceptional. I remember, and I shared this with you, I remember a year ago, I was in Canada. This weekend, I was in Canada. And the election was in full swing. You'll remember it was the summer, and now things were really heating up, and the conventions were coming up, and so a lot of stuff was in the news. And we knew it was Trump v. Hillary. At this point, it was already pretty set. I remember I was walking with my dad through the Edmonton Mall. Now, I know many good Canadian people listen to the program, so I got to be very careful right now in how I say this. We're walking through the Edmonton Mall, and it's the biggest mall, I think, in North America. I mean, it's crazy. It's huge. They got a pirate ship and a nice hockey rink and everything and da-da-da-da-da. And on paper, everything's great. But you're walking through it, and there's just something palpably miserable about it. My dad leans into me and whispers in my ear, "Son, this is what America will look like if Trump loses." and I'll explain this now. See, in Canada, they don't have the same raw capitalism that we have here. They don't have the history of daring exploration and just pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and it's a colony. It's still part of the English system, the Commonwealth. It's got this. It's a completely different animal. We have something really individualistic about us as Americans, and you know what? It's a trait that oftentimes is adopted entirely wholeheartedly by great immigrants who come here. I see it, you know, I tell you, I joke, you know, we're behind the orange curtain. But don't worry, we're pretty diverse here behind this orange curtain. Orange County has a lot of immigrants here. And one community of immigrants that I tell you, great people, and we got Little Saigon. We have Little Saigon. We got a huge Vietnamese community here. And the Vietnamese that came here, right? These are the good folks that we left behind in Vietnam. They're the people, by the way, who were on our side during the war. And when we lost our shirts and were coming home, giving up on Vietnam, these are the people that would have gotten to by the regime there. So they, what did they do? They got on anything they could and came over here, and our government opened the door to them. I mean, we were obligated to. These are people that loved America before they even hit our shores. Same like my parents. They loved the concept of America. My dad still remembers reading books about the Wild West and reading a book, and it showed a cloverleaf interchange, a freeway interchange. You got to a little kid who's, in the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, in a small town, looking at a cloverleaf interchange. We look at that and we get heart palpitations. But, you know, my dad's looking at it and going, what is this country? I've got to see this. What crazy promised land is this? And it's the same other groups, too. I'm just pointing to one example. Vietnamese that came here, they wanted to be here. They loved America before they got here. And when they got here, they adopted that same rugged, let's do this. Let's do it. Not always for certain other places. All right, we got the news up next, and I'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Producer Robbie had an idea for a shirt that we need to, can I say it? Can I talk about it? That it, the shirt should have an American flag on it, you know, very patriotic colors, you know, full kind of 4th of July feel to it, maybe even an eagle. I don't know. And then it should say, the shirt should read, World's Greatest Brexit, 1776. I love it. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And we are here on 4th of July, having a lot of fun, enjoying and celebrating our patriotism and rejoicing in this great country. And I patriotism means different things to different people. I can't necessarily talk about what it is for someone else, but for me, this country gave my parents an incredible opportunity. I mean, I oftentimes think, what would happen if they had stayed? Right, this is the play, the what if story. Let's say my parents never had left the Czech Republic, and earlier in the hour, I gave you guys the story. I went through it about my parents, how they immigrated. First, my mom went to France and then to Holland. My dad immigrated, was, you know, forced to flee the advancing Soviet troops that were coming into their country in 1968. My dad went to the Netherlands, to Holland, and they married and eventually made their way to the U.S. This is a culmination of a huge dream for them. Now, for me, I think about that. What if they had never left? And many of you, I think, have a similar thing, a similar thought. And I'll tell you, I know for a fact, I would never, I don't know, I don't think I would be the same person. And that's what I mean about something about this country that is unique, that gets us to do our best. And why I loathe the entire concept of liberalism, that we are supposed to coddle people. We're supposed to, the concept of, I don't know, of these safe spaces, that we're supposed to protect young people, that we're supposed to make things okay for them in an artificial way. No, we are a country. We're renegades. We are the upstarts. We are, and even though it might not be necessarily my forefathers that threw the first Boston Tea Party, I think that it's a part of all of us, that it is in our, you know, collective American DNA. And it's that DNA that spurns, maybe, I don't know, that makes, it's this DNA that gives people the get up and go to start a business, to invent new things. Think of all the patents that are registered, that are all the ideas that come out of this country. It's disproportionate to other places in the world, even when you're even relative to population in a per capita basis. And it's because here people know that they'll create the patent, that the government will protect their wealth, that they can develop that patent and monetize it. We still, in spite of the Democrats' best efforts, it's still a lot easier to start a business than it is just about anywhere in the world. And it has to stay that way, or else we lose what is so uniquely American. Because in our quest to help every disadvantaged person, and in our quest to admit anyone and everyone, regardless of what they think of us or whatnot, into this country, we risk destroying who we are. It's happening all across Europe. Trust me. It's happening in Great Britain. It's happening in Belgium. It's happening in France. Unrecognizable swaths of the country, of people that don't want anything to do with France. They want to still have their culture, their life, their language, everything. They don't want to be French. But they sure like the benefits. They like the welfare, but they don't want to assimilate and they don't want to buy into what that country is about. It's not a good thing. All right, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Are you barbecuing today? You've probably already barbecued. Maybe it's later in the evening is when you really get the good grilling going. I don't know. Whatever it is, hopefully the guy you were, you know, barbecuing with didn't throw a bunch of lighter fluid into the grill and you didn't lose your eyebrows. That can happen. It's a real 4th of July problem. People losing their eyebrows out there. Happened to Eugene Levy once. I have it on good authority. Well, anyway, if it happens to you, what do? You call Sweet James, right? Any kind of injury, accident, doesn't matter. It could be bizarre. You know, real life has no limits to the levels of creative ways people can hurt you. So call Sweet James Bergner. He's the lawyer we trust to handle your injury needs. And make sure that you have somebody on your side that can guide you through it. You don't want to go at this alone. Don't want to talk to the insurance company or the person that did it to you and get caught saying something that's later going to hurt you. Okay? Don't do it. Call Sweet James Bergner. He's the lawyer we trust to help you get what's right, get justice, and make sure your interests are protected. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Rejofsky, 4th of July. I love this. This is really my favorite day. I love the 4th of July holiday. And it's always a great time to reflect on what our forefathers, what our founding fathers here did to create this special place. And it really is ours to wreck. I mean, that's, I think, the best way I can put it. Political pendulums swing back and forth. But I think something that ought to not be a political football is believing that this country is great, that this country is exceptional. It really did bother me, and it had nothing to do with the big D by his name. It really did bother me that Barack Obama spent so much time trashing us when he went around the world. I mean, it's kind of like when you have a fight with your wife and you say horrible things to each other and you get it all out. And when you go to work the next day, what do? You're supposed to, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do, okay? Let's start there. You're supposed to say, oh, I love my wife. She's the best. If you don't have anything to say, don't say it. People outside your marriage, don't do it. And it's like that with your country. And it bothered me going to other places and just crapping on us. And it started right at the get-go. It started before he got elected, went to Berlin and adoring crowds of thousands of people. And said, you know, America, you know, we haven't always done everything right and da-da-da-da-da. But the irony is that in that crowd, there are people who've seen what America did for Berlin. They'll remember the Berlin airlift. They'll remember the support that West Berlin got throughout the years and years that it was left isolated in the middle, in the deep within enemy territory. Talking deeper than Orange County in California. When the wall fell, and I remember being there, when the wall fell, and I was, you know, I went to Eastern, I went to Czech Republic a couple months after the end of the regime. It was recognized that America played a role. It was recognized that it was a triumph of America, of optimism, of freedom, a triumph over the opposite, which was the Soviet Union, of oppression, of control, and of a mindset that the state is more important than the individual. And so for me, 4th of July, it's a reminder that we've got to keep our freedoms. And it's not about necessarily fighting foreign wars and foreign enemies, because most of the threats to our freedom are from within. I'm going to explain that. It's important. Stay tuned.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski back talking about freedom this 4th of July. And here's the straight scoop. The biggest threat to freedom is from within. And this is because there are literally millions of opportunities every year for the various legislatures, be it Congress, be they state legislatures, be they city councils, all the way down to your community association. Millions of opportunities every year to, in small ways, restrict your rights, restrict your freedom. And it's always done. It's always done in an effort to fix a problem. You know how something bad happens? Well, you know, it can be anything. Let's say, I don't know. Let's say someone's vape blows up. So what's the first thing that politicians say? This can never happen again. We can never have Joe Douchebag have a vape blow up in his pocket and burn his thigh like this. It just can never happen again. We need to protect vaping douchebags everywhere. So they pass a law. They call it the Joe Douchebag Law. And sorry, hey, look, if you vape, I'm sorry. I'm being a bad boy. I apologize. I can't help myself. But you get where this is going. And now they decide part of the law is we're going to regulate vaping. We're going to, you can't just buy it online. It has to, if you want to sell a vape, you've got to have a license. And this and that and the other. You know what Joe Douchebag needs to do if the vape blows up in his pocket? He's going to call a lawyer. He's got to call Sweet James and sue the shop that sold it to him. But you don't need the government to now put all these rules into place that regulate from whom you buy a vape, what time of day you buy a vape, what does the vape look like? Can it be shaped like, I don't know, like an Anthony Weiner, for example? Can't have that because, you know, there's going to be some law against it. Slowly but surely, my ridiculous example turns into reality. It is like the proverbial frog in the warm water. You slowly turn up the heat and you boil the frog alive, sitting there going, this is warm, and lights out. And we just do not want to get to a place where it's lights out on this freedom. We have to allow people are going to get hurt. Bad things are going to happen because there are bad people out there. You're not going to fix everything with legislation. do-gooders in government. And this is really where the libs are. They're most of them coming from a good place. They vote left because it feels good. You know, it's a feel thing. But then what happens is little restrictions. Oh, that, you know, someone got cut by a 5.5-inch knife. Ban 5.5-inch knives. Next thing you know, we're all using knives in the kitchen that are 5.25. It's literally that ridiculous. And that happens with business all the time. You know, someone gets laid off, someone gets hurt at work. Next thing you know, you got a new regulation. And that regulation makes it that much more difficult for that new guy starting a business with a new idea to get his dream off the ground. We should make it very easy for people to get their American dreams off the ground. And that is why I am a conservative. All right, I've enjoyed this very much. Really, just have a great 4th. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Rest up. Tomorrow is a work day. 3-day work week should be a piece of cake, right? Talk to you tomorrow night at 7.